Hey, thanks for checking out West Church Lake Norman. I'm so glad that you are worshiping with us right now, and I hope that wherever you are located, that you find today's service meaningful and relevant to your life. We are beginning a new message series today, and it is called Baggage versus Luggage, Claiming Your Power. We're going to talk about defining moments. What are defining moments in our lives? We're actually going to talk about this all summer long. For like 3 months. I put on Facebook, what do you think of when you think of this statement, the power of ... And the responses were so powerful and overwhelming. I mean, like, and lots of people commented. There were so many different aspects that we can look at that create defining moments in our lives, claiming our power. That's actually what creates a defining moment, is it is a moment of power. We're going to learn about those. We're going to learn about those from a spiritual perspective, a following Jesus perspective, and a psychological perspective. One of the things that we try to do here at West is make the messages relevant for your everyday life. It's one thing to study scripture, and we value that, of course, and learning about the ways of Christ and learning about the nature of God and what living into that means. But it needs to be something that we hope when you walk away or, you know, finish listening to today, you're like, okay, I see something that I can do differently in my life right now. I see something that I can think about differently, and it will transform me. These messages and what we offer you needs to be transformational, or else why bother? I mean, we can always gain more knowledge, but there's something to be said for knowledge and wisdom. So we're going to talk about defining moments. We're going to talk about what they mean. We're going to talk about luggage. And today, I'm going to give you some helpful tips for purchasing luggage. Like, you'll even get some practical advice from Consumer Reports about luggage. And then we're going to talk about our baggage and what is our baggage and how do we get rid of it. And then over the next 12 weeks, we're going to talk about all the different aspects of power and how Jesus claimed those. And we're going to look at examples of what he did in his ministry and his life. And they will inspire us, I hope, to live our lives to the fullest extent possible. Because guess what? We think of defining moments as a few pivotal moments, but what if we could have so many more? And what if we learned that we actually have the power to claim our defining moments, to define them, to create them? If you are new here, we are glad that you are checking us out. We invite you to text the word welcome to the number that you see on your screen, or get your mobile device ready, and I'm going to read it to you in just a second, but get your mobile device ready, and we would love to send you a gift if you are going to, if you will text in the word welcome. We have a gift that we'd like to send you, and then you can choose to opt into our communication or not. The number is 704-343-8955, 704-343-8955. I hope you'll let us know that you're a part of the community. Now, for just a second, I would love for you to type your names in the chat room. I'd also love to know, if you're not worshiping from the Lake Norman, Troutman, Mooresville area, where are you worshiping from? And then, would you mind commenting, what are some defining moments that you can think of? They don't necessarily have to be your defining moment, but what are some defining moments in life that you can think of? I invite you to do that while you listen and watch this song. Thanks. So we have baggage and we have luggage. And I want to give credit where credit is due. I love this thought and this idea. It's from Lexi Hernandez, our growth co-pastor, and she's actually manning the chat room and the one talking with you this morning. And she said, you know, baggage is where you've been. luggage is where you're going. And I'm like, that's so true. Like, we have luggage for where we're going to go, but then we all have baggage. So I want to show you a picture. This is Lindsay, Dawn, Caroline, and myself the day that we left for Uganda. Now, when you go to Uganda, and this was our new partner in Kagumba with Dero and Prosper and Blaze and Jimmy and all the other folks that are a part of our campus and ministry there. We were so excited because the four of us were going to get to go together. And there are all these rules about how much baggage, or actually how much luggage you can take on the trip. And so because we were going to be having the conference, and because they said probably, 50 to 60 people would come. We figured it would be a couple hundred. We didn't know it would be 500, but we took supplies with us. We took crayons and we took coloring books and we took cross-stitch threads so that they could make friendship bracelets, all the people that came to the conference to be a reminder. And the people in the villages of Kagumba and the surrounding areas, they value those things. They don't have those things. Like, I never thought cross-stitch thread wound around these little pieces of cardboard would be a big deal to try to get through customs, but actually that was the one thing that held us up once we landed in Uganda. They'd never seen that before, and they thought we were bringing in things to sell, and so it took like 15 or 20 minutes of me trying to convince the security what we needed to bring the cross-stitch thread in for, and I couldn't remember, like, do they look favorably upon clergy coming and or not, because when we used to do ministry in Jamaica, they do not look favorably upon churches. So it just, the government didn't. So I just, it was a little bit addling. But we had all this luggage that we were taking with us because we had things that we were going to take that were going to be used for ministry there, like the baby clothes that you all donated and the other supplies for the school kids in Kagumba. We did not think through, however, that we each could have, a carry-on, a personal item, and then two checked bags. So for every person, there was four items. Now, we are quite ambidextrous, but we only have two hands. So we didn't think through the problem that carrying all that luggage was going to create. There are carts, and that was great, but you still had to move the carts and all that kind of stuff. We ended up taking, honestly, a little too much luggage. In fact, when we got there, we spent the night in Entebbe a couple of nights, and then we planned the conference together with Dero and Prosper, and then we got ready to travel to Kagumba, and the police officer wouldn't let us leave. We were strapping all the luggage to the top of the vehicle that Dero had rented for us, and apparently this particular police officer, and also in Uganda, the traffic laws are very subjective, not necessarily objective. So when Dero put all this stuff on top of the vehicle, the security officer was like, if you leave, you're going to get a ticket. And he's like, no, I see all these cars driving around all the time with stuff on top. He's like, no. And he's like, yes, it's unsafe. And Prosper had already shared with me, just that we needed to be mindful of traffic laws and the discrepancy that can sometimes happen. And so we ended up like losing 5 or 6 hours of that day because we had to rent another car, then it broke down, and it was crazy because we had so much luggage. But the good thing is that contained within that luggage were like really, really wonderful things. We were not willing to part with our luggage because the contents held therein were valuable. Now, if it had been baggage, what would we have done differently? to my right, you will see some legit baggage from the West office. Someone had some Pizza Hut last week and some corn dogs, and there's cans and all other kinds of trash in there. Now, if this is what we had packed in the car to take to the conference, we would have very easily just parted with it and said, let's just throw it away. But because we had valuable things in our luggage, we weren't willing to part with it. This morning, I want us to look within our own lives, and I want us to think about two things. We all have baggage, and we all have the opportunity to have luggage. What are you clinging to, and what are you willing to let go of so that you can pick up the most valuable things and move forward in life? There's an idea among psychologists that defining moments can be intentionally created. Not like I know that this moment is going to be a defining moment, but the whole way that we look at our life, we have the opportunity to create defining moments. And so over the next several weeks, we are going to look at that. We're going to look at this idea that Jesus said, which is all the things that I've done and the power that I have of the Holy Spirit and God that abides in me. You have that same power. And guess what? If we will claim our defining moments, then for sure we can use the power of God that lives in each of us, and our lives, regardless of what obstacles we face, our lives can be so different. We don't have to wait for defining moments to happen to us. We can create them. Now, in order to do that, we have to be willing to get rid of some stuff and some ideas that we carry. We have to be willing to get rid of our baggage. I'd love for you to look at the definition the Urban Dictionary has for baggage. Baggage is an issue regarding a person's past that can affect their current disposition. Things like addiction, debt, disease or illness, bad habits, secrets, past relationships. Believe it or not, we've all got baggage. Anybody that you meet with any cognizance of their life, we've got baggage. But it's whether we carry it around with us all the time or whether we are willing to lay it down and let it go and get rid of it that impacts us. So baggage, anything that affects who we are, like our bad habits, those are baggage. Do you have any of those? Do you have any bad habits that you've been wrestling with? Wouldn't this summer be a great time to get rid of those or to be more intentional about our finances and not being in debt, to try to be as healthy as we can be with whatever physical health situations that we have? Secrets. You're only as sick. We are only as sick as our secrets. So not holding on to those, letting those go, and letting the pain of past relationships, be it a romantic relationship or a friendship that has brought us pain, or a family relationship, letting all those things go. Because guess what? That's baggage. And now let's look at the legit definition of luggage and what luggage is. Luggage is, very frankly, empty bags and suitcases. So I did some research on luggage, believe it or not, and Consumer Reports what are good qualities to think of when you're purchasing luggage. And I am interested in, before I talk about those, if you would type in the chat room with Lexi, like, what do you think are some important things to think about when you buy a new suitcase or when you buy a new piece of luggage? For Christmas, Tom and I went in together. It was right before we were supposed to go to Uganda, like the fourth time. And we got Caroline a suitcase for Christmas. And honestly, I had no idea that there were so many features now for different suitcases. And I found that I wanted a new suitcase because hers was the one that we got her had so many bells and whistles. And that was the most impractical thing ever. I don't need a new suitcase, so I did not purchase one, but it was so cool. Like, what do you think good quality suitcases have? Well, the first thing that you consider is the actual weight of the suitcase. So like when we were going to Uganda, the things that we were carrying, some of those were very heavy. The baby clothes, I mean, that stuff added up. So we needed the suitcases that were going to weigh the least and like have the most space in them. So this is one of the suitcases that we took. Several that we took, we left there, but some we brought back because we felt like we'd be going again. But the weight of the suitcase is important because once you put all the stuff in it that you want to take, the valuable stuff, you have to be able to move it around, right? That's just common sense. And the second thing is size. Like what I found out when I took this suitcase to Uganda is it is literally half my height. So then if I put the handle up, which we'll talk about in a minute, but if I put the handle up, like I could barely navigate the thing. It was so big. But the purpose was we really needed all the room. So it was the most logical one to take. But size is important too. And guess what? We need different sizes of luggage for different things in our lives. Think about that for just a second. Where you want to go and who you want to be, we need different containers for that. We need different sizes to take the things that we hold most dear and that bring value and add value and meaning to our life, like this little handy dandy thing. I could carry this around every day to take the things that I need. This one, not so much. And this one, this is like one of those bad examples. This is like an older school suitcase, and it's very heavy compared to the other one. And honestly, it won't be one that we continue to take long term because it's not beneficial anymore. Eventually, it will become baggage, and we'll need to get rid of it. Something else that's important, and honestly, I learned this when I was researching about baggage and luggage, is security. I didn't think about the fact that sometimes they open up your suitcases and go through them. I've never locked my suitcase. I've never thought about it, honestly. So different suitcases have different kinds of security that you can use, and there's some even lock that only the TSA has a certain way that they can get into it, and so they don't have to break your lock. And so that's clearly very valuable to have in a piece of luggage. The other thing is handle. And you actually need the handles to work. Like some are incremental and you can put it up a little or you can put it up a lot. And frankly, when the handles don't work, that's when the suitcase, the luggage ends up moving into baggage. Because I could maybe manipulate the suitcase like this, but if I had to take this thing with 50 pounds of stuff in it with this handle, that would simply be impossible. And one of the most recent additions since I have become an adult from long, long time ago is the wheels. Like first they started out with, you know, just the four little wheels on one of those long, skinny suitcases. But now like they have, then they moved to two wheels, then they moved to four. And now all the wheels turn just like a car. It's amazing. So if you get a suitcase with the right handle that you can manipulate and wheels, it can go anywhere that you need it to go. And last, storage and expandability. I will spare you from opening up the suitcase, but you know, when we take it to a destination of our choice, I feel like I'm doing an infomercial for luggage, but when you take it on a destination of your choice, like when you go, you've got certain stuff in it, and so it's one size. But if you go somewhere and you've had a good time and you want souvenirs and you want to bring back things, you end up bringing back more than you went with, and so you have to expand the suitcase. Now, what has any of that got to do with our lives and with faith? And why are you tuning in to learn more about luggage? Well, number one, it is summer. And as I've scrolled social media, I do that a couple of days a week. I noticed that there are West people in Africa. There are West people in Greece right now. And I'm like, man, this is really cool. And one of them even took the little bendy Jesus that we gave out with the last message series to Greece. And so Jesus has, the little West Jesus has been going all over the world. But it is fun to think about, but it's really powerful to think about, where are we going? Where do we want to go? And how are we going to get there? And Jesus gives us some very, very clear help with that. Like, how do we live our best lives now? How do we live a life of meaning and purpose? How do we not get bagged down with our baggage? Well, there's one scripture that Jesus was speaking, the words that he was speaking to the disciples, and their words that he offers to us. I want you to meditate on this picture for a few minutes as I read to you some words from the Gospel of Matthew. These are words from Jesus when he was preaching to and teaching with the disciples, and it's after he gave the Sermon on the Mount, and he was trying to give them just some basic life advice. Hear these words from Matthew. If you decide that you're for God and you're going to live a life of God worship, it makes sense that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach. There's more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to God than the birds. Has anyone by fussing in the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at fashion, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside the flowers. If God gives so much attention to the appearance of the wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you? Don't you think God will take pride in you and God will do God's best for you? What I'm telling you to do here is to try to get you to relax and not be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way that God works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how God works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find that all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. How much time do you spend worrying about stuff? Worrying about finances, worrying about bills, worried about health, worried about medical diagnosis, worried about family, worried about decisions that other people are making, worried about decisions that other people are making that impact you, worried about your job, or worried about the stock market if you're in retirement and your pension is tied to that, worried whether or not you're going to fit in, worried what's yet to be. We talked about defining moments, and I asked you to put a few of those in the chat room. We think of defining moments as like marriage, moving, job change, the birth of a child, the birth of a grandchild, that those are all defining moments, and they are, certainly. Defining moments can be great moments, moments of great joy. They can also be moments of pitfalls. The psychologists talk about the moments of peaks, the moments of pitfalls. But there are other defining moments that we can claim, and that's what we're going to talk about this summer. Those are moments of transitions. Like, believe it or not, when we start something or stop something, that transition of anything, whether it's large or small, can be a defining moment for us. We can create defining moments. Now, psychologists have this whole way that we can do that, and we're going to look at that next week more in depth, but we're going to talk about positivity next week and those expectations and love. And we're going to look at a story about Moses and how something that he did impacted the Apostle Paul several thousand years later. And we have that same opportunity today. But today, I just want us to think about for a little while and to ruminate on it this week. Like, we get to choose how we go about our life so that we get to define our moments. We don't have to be the victim of circumstances. And regardless of what crappy things come our way, they don't have to define us. We can instead define them. And the way that we do that is we tie our faith to the area of psychology and the study of psychology. Because we know that all that we appreciate in that field, there's more. Like, there is this presence of God that abides in each of us, the Holy Spirit, that when Jesus was no longer able to be with those that followed him, he's like, look, you don't have to be sad. I'm going to give you an advocate, a friend, a partner that's going to be with you. And it abides in you. And everything that I've done, you can do because you've got that same power. What if we become intentional about thinking about that power, about claiming that power, about letting our baggage go and picking up our luggage and really moving forward with wherever we are, whatever chapter we're in our life and moving forward in joy and peace, harmony and unity? There are a few ways that we can do that. And so I want to share with you just some basic, simple thoughts from Eckhart Tolle. The first one is, life is just a series of present moments. Now, we can tie his thoughts back to the thoughts of Jesus, right? Like, he says, life is just a series of present moments, and that is his way of saying what Jesus said. Like, look, if you are a part of God, you don't have to worry about anything, because worrying is not going to change anything. Now, it doesn't mean that we just get to sit passively by and just wait on life to happen because, you know, hey, I don't have to worry about anything. We have to take responsibility for our actions, for our situations. If finances are a thing, we have to be proactive in trying to make better decisions or find better avenues of gaining income or doing some research on our own to figure stuff out. Like, we can't just sit around and go, oh, well, the Bible says I don't have to worry, so I'm just going to sit here and wait on somebody to do something for me. It doesn't work that way. But worrying about it gets us nowhere. We read in Matthew where Jesus said, look, do you think you have added an inch to your height by worrying about being taller? No. You're not going to add any time to your life either by worrying about it. Remember the beautiful flowers that you see, which you've not even really seen them all. God created those. God created you. And look at all that you have to offer the world. Do you not think if God loved the flowers so much to create them with all their beauty, and God created you, that God's going to take care of you? I've told you many times that I'm an advocate for therapy. If you watched last Sunday, you heard us talk about that with Lexi and with Lane. And I just think good things can come when you have someone else with a different perspective that they can share with you. So over the course of the last 15 years, I've been in therapy almost all of that time, different therapists for different seasons of my journey. Last fall, I started going back, and we were talking about something that I was worried about, a very difficult family situation that I was having to navigate, and I just couldn't figure out, and it really was starting to depress me, consume me. I found it really difficult to function because some things were happening that I couldn't understand with some outside forces, and it was really, really consuming me. And I went to this therapist, and she's like, look, you know, you can't control them, and you can't control how they treat you. The only thing you can control is how you are. And so I'm like, okay. So we started working about not empowering the negative people and the negative voices in my life. And I'll never forget one day I said, but if this doesn't change, then what am I going to do, you know, in May when this event happens? How am I going to handle it? Like, and she said, you know, a lot can change from November to May. Why are you worried about May now? I'm like, well, I just like to have a plan. And she's like, you don't always get to have a plan. That's what I thought of when I heard Lexi say that baggage is where you've been, but luggage is where you're going. Like, I would like to have a plan. I'd like to know how it's all going to end up, and I don't. But what I can know is that I take the right things with me. I can choose the right luggage. I can choose the right size and weight and expandability and storage so that I have the tools that I need to go where I need to go. And I can let go of the things that aren't important. Jesus says, look, all you have to do is trust me. And know that you are going to be taken care of. Last November, when my therapist said that, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to listen to you right now. But in the back of my mind, I thought, I'm still going to worry about it because that's just what I do. I realized that that worry was decreasing my happiness and stealing my joy of the present moment. And guess what? May came and went. The situations that I needed to be a part of, they weren't like ideal, but guess what? I managed them, and I actually managed them okay because I learned to let go of the baggage and a lot of my worry and to be in the present moment. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what Eckhart Tolle was saying. Be in the present moment. Don't worry about what has happened. Don't think necessarily and ruminate on what has happened. And don't worry about what is yet to happen. Just be right here, right now. Another thing that we have to learn is when we live in the right here and now is that sometimes we are going to have pain. But pain is a result of a resistance to the things that we cannot change. Think about that for another minute. Pain is a result of the resistance. It's what happens when we want to change something and we can't change it and it causes us pain. So part of that is just recognizing to not worry, like Jesus says, is to just say, hey, here I am. This is what it is. Like somebody says, oh, you know, I'm so sorry that this is happening or whatever. And instead of saying it's okay, because it isn't okay, right? Like sometimes we have things that are painful in our lives. What if we can learn to just be in that present moment, be mindful about being in the present moment, and learn to say it is what it is. Recognizing that we're going to feel pain, acknowledge the pain, and then if we'll acknowledge it, guess what? If we won't worry about it and we learn to let go, the pain won't be so bad anymore. When we recognize that it is just the result of something we cannot change and it does not have to define us, we can control how we think and how we act. And we can learn to let things go. We can learn to let our baggage go. You know, you can free yourself from pain by constantly observing your thoughts and recognizing, like, okay, this is what I'm thinking right now. Right now, I'm worrying about this. Right now, I'm sad about this. Right now, I'm angry about this. And then not judging yourself because you are thinking those things, but just being in that present moment. Be like an objective observer and think, okay, it is what it is. This has happened this way. This is how I'm feeling. This is what I think. And then move on. No judgment, like I shouldn't be feeling that way or thinking that way. Just recognize it for what it is and let it go. There's another scripture that is so important to us and our lives. It's one we don't talk about a lot because we don't understand it, but it's so powerful. So I want you to hear these words. I want you to read these words on the screen with me. This is the passage that will permeate every message in this series as we look at the power of love and the power of positivity and the power of prayer and all the different ways that we can claim our power that comes from God. Read these words with me from John 14. Believe me, I am in my Father. This is Jesus talking, and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see. These works. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but will do even greater things because I, on my way to the Father, I am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it from now on. Whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen. For who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do. Now, don't get excited and think you can go buy a lottery ticket this afternoon and because you do it in the name of Jesus, you're going to win. That's not necessarily actually at all what he's talking about. He says, if you ask for these things in my way, well, first of all, his way was saying, you know, God, your will be done, not mine. But the way of Jesus is the way of love. So if we seek all things in love, Jesus, God, our prayers are heard, and we find that we get what we need. I want to show you a quote that is very powerful. We'll send it out this week in one of our devotions. Hey, you. You're holding on to too many bags. You can't do it all. You can't be it all. You can't carry it all. Do what you can. Be who you are. Only carry what is important. And put the rest of the bags down. We took the luggage to Uganda. We met amazing human beings. I had no idea how it would work. I had no idea if they would be folks that would be of the same theological understanding that we are. I had no idea if they would be folks with a work ethic that would match the West work ethic. I just had no idea. And we went and we fell in love with them and just felt the power of God at work so much. And we came back and we started thinking about business partnerships that they can have in the community so that they can find a place to gather and to worship and to connect with the community. And then we started thinking about my least favorite thing ever, money. And I'm like, you know what? D-Row, we're just going to have to press pause for a little while because, like, this is going to require additional funds that we're both going to have to figure out how we get them. And we can work on it independently and then pull it together. One of the important parts of this, because there's so much potential with these 8 young men, is we wanted to bring them here so that they could meet you. so that they could be a part of the West community and see and understand a little more of what we do and what our lives are like here, but also so we could join together with all the West staff and the West leaders and do some spiritual leadership development that you just can't do with a language barrier and over Zoom. And so we started talking about that and how it was going to happen. And I'm like, there's just no way. There's no way. We've got too much baggage. And then something just kept nudging me to just keep trying to work on it. And Friday, I got this phone call, and it was from someone within the conference. And they're like, look, we really believe in what y'all are trying to do in Uganda, and we're going to help you with the plane tickets so that they can come, and we want to meet them, and we just want to figure out how y'all are launching a campus on the other side of the world that's so cool and powerful, and we want to help. You know, when we're willing to not worry about stuff and we're willing to let stuff go, good God, love, it's always at work. So this week, I really invite you to think about your luggage. Even go through your house and look at what kind of luggage that you've got. Is it luggage or is it baggage? What baggage do you need to get rid of? Because we have the opportunity to have defining moments every day in our life. We don't have to wait for the big things to happen to us, the good things or the bad things. We have the power through God to create defining moments. And we can do it by getting the best luggage ever and letting go of our baggage. I hope and pray that you will do that with me. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for being a God that helps us get rid of our baggage and helps us choose the right things and the right path forward. Help us learn to live in the present moment. Help us learn to let stuff go. And help us learn that the things that bring us pain are things we cannot control, and they just are what they are, and we will just acknowledge them and then let them go. Recognizing that the power that we need to live in and through the most painful things comes from you. Thank you for being a God of grace and a God of love, a God of forgiveness and a God of hope. And we offer our prayers to you. Amen. I look forward to seeing what kind of luggage you come up with. I'll see you next Sunday.